Amen. Thank you, Tammy. Well, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 to read our text verse. We want to share a message tonight, Victory Over Depression, and I'm hoping the message will be good, be able to get me out of my slump. Amen. Victory Over Depression. We started a series last week on victorious Christian living, and we're going to go through some things that Christians struggle with. Many people, everyone struggles with at different times. And we want to learn how to have victory over these things that seem to oppress us and knock us down and literally become a distraction in living our Christian life. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 8, Paul says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." In chapter 4 of this same book, in verse 8 and 9, Paul goes on to say, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Certainly, as you read these two short passages, we get a sense that the Apostle Paul had experienced some difficulties in doing ministry, traveling from one place to another, even to a place that it was so overwhelming that he said we literally had despaired of life. And chapter 4, where we read, he speaks of the troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. I mean, sometimes it just seems like life comes flashing in on you and hemming you in. He said we're perplexed and not in despair. There are times where we experience complexities in life where we cannot comprehend and understand why we're going through what we're going through, or when we'll be able to get out of it, or how we're going to be able to overcome it. And we're perplexed, but he says we don't fall into a place of perplexity to the point of being in complete despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And I think many times when persecutions come, rather than allowing ourselves to fall into a position of depression or complete anxiety and of emotional distress, that we need to remember that, wait a minute, we still are not forsaken of God. And then he goes on to say that we are cast down but not destroyed. Oftentimes we make statements in reference to non-realities. We say, well, this will never work out. Well, never. My dad always used to say, never's a long time. And the reality is, that's a false statement, because God does work things out for us. And so we have to be careful not falling into these types of things. Before we actually go into our lesson, I read these, it says these things, seven things that you should not say to someone who's depressed. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. First one he put down was this: you need to just snap out of it. You ever get discouraged and down, depressed, or you talk to someone about the discouragement you're dealing with, and they just look at it and you say, you just need to get snap out of this thing. And the reality is, depression and discouragement, anxieties can become so overwhelming, you can't just snap out of it. You need a plan, need a process that you can go through to be able to overcome that thing that is overwhelming you. You need to think positively. How can you think positively when everything around you is negative? And sometimes it is difficult to have a good outlook on the situation when everywhere you turn seems like there is just nothing more than negative bombardment in your life. You need to think positively. Well, don't say, you need to confess your sins. Sometimes depression is a result of sins that overwhelm us because we will not get them right with God. But the reality is, just because somebody's going through a time of emotional distress does not mean they're in sin. And the first thing we want to do is condemn somebody by saying, you just need to confess your sins. And they may have been on their knees pouring their heart out before God confessing their sins, but they're overwhelmed with something that they can't understand and comprehend. Another one they said, what about this? I can't read my own writing. Oh, get on some meds immediately. That sounds like the world in 2016. The answer to every American's problem is get some type of medication. Now, if you need medication, get it, amen. But the reality is not every problem you have in life requires medication to get over it. Don't say to them, I've been through worse. Well, that just encourages me. When I'm struggling, I go to somebody, people ask you, how you doing? And then you're honest with them. Instead of saying, oh, I'm okay, you actually say, well, I'm really struggling with this. And their response is, well, I've been through worse. You realize when someone is struggling with something, it is not about you. You're not going to minister and help them if you want to focus it back on you. I've been through worse. Well, don't say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And certainly at a time of total despair, at that point in that person's life, they think that God just did give them something more they can't, more than what they can handle. The reality is God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but sometimes it requires of us working through the process of understanding how God's going to get us through that situation in our life. Here's the last one they had. Depression is a sin. You should have joy in your life. You know what? I believe that we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I believe that with all my heart, but life isn't always joyful. There are discouraging times, there are disappointments in life, and there are things that do knock us on our heels, so to speak, in reference of how to deal or how to respond to this situation. So depression. Depression is defined as a condition characterized by the inability to concentrate. Insomnia. I don't have that problem. I sleep real good. Feelings of extreme sadness, dejection, despair. And so you need to understand what real depression is. You might be just down. You might be tired. You might have fatigue. You may have some symptoms you may be experiencing, but you're not overwhelmed with depression. But yet there are people who cannot function. They cannot concentrate properly. They cannot get sleep because they are worried about everything and they're overwhelmed by the surroundings in their life. And literally what happens is depression is simply a feeling of hopelessness. That's all it is. That's your first point. Depression is nothing more than a feeling of hopelessness. Feeling that there is no way out. There's no way to be able to get victory. Depression is it is no respecter of persons. Many of the great preachers that you can read about that God used in great ways that led multitudes of people to Christ had bouts of deep depression in dealing with the overwhelming responsibilities and burdens that came upon them in doing their ministry. It has been called the common cold of the mind, depression, coming to a place of hopelessness. Paul said, wait a minute, I want you to know that we were pressed out of measure, above our strength insomuch that we literally despaired of life. And sometimes when we get overwhelmed with this matter of depression, we allow this sense of hopelessness to dominate our very thought process and our emotions. We get into this deep fog where we even despair of life. Statistics say, experts say, that one in every 10 people in our country suffers from depression. One out of every 8 can be expected to require treatment for their condition. It's one thing to get discouraged or get depressed, and God gives you some scripture and God directs you and you're able to get yourself functioning again and moving again, but there's many. 1 in 8 have to get some type of extra or treatment to be able to overcome it. Each year, between 4 and 8 million people are depressed to the extent that they cannot effectively function at their jobs and seek treatment. Now, that's a huge number of people that just seemingly cannot get themselves under control. They cannot, master their emotions to a point where they can get up in the morning and face the day and be able to go out and function to the necessity of their needs and others around them. So this matter of depression is a real thing. And it is no respecter of persons. It goes from the secular world, the heathen world, into the Christian world. And oftentimes we just want to shrub it off. I remember hearing years ago of a pastor that was really suffering from great bouts of depression, so much so that he could not function. He couldn't get out of bed. He could not get up and meet the demands every day. And he did not know what was going on. Well, he had a medical problem. Another preacher who knew him said, you need to go to Texas and see this particular a doctor out there and let them examine you because something is going on here. And it turned out he did. He had a medical problem. He had to get some medication for something that was going on in his brain. And he was fine. And he was able to go ahead and function and pastor a church and be able to be used of God in a great way. But we cannot ignore the symptoms of emotional distress because of the fact we're embarrassed or expect someone to accuse us of being in sin or not willing to meet our responsibilities and all this, that. And so we lay in this cesspool, if you will, of hopelessness with no sense of any direction. But yet for the Christian, we can find victory. There is victory through Christ. And how can we do this? Here's some thoughts in our lesson tonight. Need to, first of all, identify the problem. Like that pastor I heard of, this was years ago, he had to identify what the problem was. If you're constantly just discouraged, can't sleep, overwhelmed with sadness, feel dejected and alone, you're at a point of despair, you can't get over it, there's something wrong. And so we need to identify the problem. If you don't identify the problem, you're never going to be able to solve it. So you need to identify the problem. Letter A, symptoms. What are symptoms of depression? Number one, feelings of sadness and apathy. Now, this is not a matter of fact that something happened to you today and you're sad about it. That's not depression. If you're not careful, anything goes wrong, you're not excited about life or something disappoints you. You say, well, I'm just depressed. No, you're just disappointed in life. It is the symptoms of real depression is coming to a place where you're overwhelmed with sadness and apathy. Number two, the loss of perspective. Someone who is completely overwhelmed with depression will lose perspective in life. Everything will seem like it is something broader and bigger than what it really is. You know, one little word all of a sudden becomes a whole book of condemnation against you. And it's because of the fact that you have been overwhelmed with depression to the point where you lose perspective in life. Notice it's feelings of worthlessness. You know, oftentimes you say, well, I don't understand how somebody can get to the point of taking their own life. But if you look at people who get to that point, they have lost perspective in life, and they have lost a sense of being worthy or valuable in anything, and so their life is to a point of despair. What's the sense in even going on in life? I might as well end my life because I'm worthless. And so it is a real problem that needs to be identified if you're being overwhelmed with bouts of depression. Number four, there is a desire to escape. Yeah, sometimes I feel like that. I just need to get out of here, you know, and need to watch out. I mean, all you do is feel like I got to get away. I got to get out of here. I got to escape. Watch out. If that's all you focus on, it will end up leading you to a point of depression and discouragement because you'll start feeling like you need to get out of here because of the fact that your life isn't worth anything and you have no perspective in life. Next thing you know, you're building this up to a point of complete sadness that overwhelms you where what's the sense of going on? So you have to identify the problem. Number five, guilt. Identify that sometimes if you are overwhelmed with a sense of guilt in your life, it will take you into a point of despair. Whether it may be feeling guilt over not rearing your children properly, whether it be guilt over some sin that you committed in the past, you never got it right, whether it be guilt over some relationship that became dysfunctional or fell apart, and you take all the burden on yourself and you're overwhelmed with it and you just feel guilty about it and all you are is always condemning yourself over it, that will lead you to a point of depression. Not only guilt, but development of over-dependency on others. Now, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. And it's a great principle that is in the Word of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And he says, and take my yoke upon you. And he tells us to cast our burdens on him. But yet, what we do oftentimes is we become over-dependent on others, where we expect others to be able to function for us. And then when they don't function for us to the point of making us feel worthy and valuable and all this, that, and the other, we fall in a position of depression that, well, nobody cares about me. The problem is you haven't learned how to stand on your own and you're depending on others to do for you what you can't, that what you should be doing for yourself, and they can't do that. And I've dealt with people over the years where they just get to a point of discouragement and depression, an emotional state, literally against the church, because they feel the church isn't doing enough for them. Now, and generally when that takes place, they have been going through some stressful situations in their life that has gotten out of control in their life, to where they've gotten sad to the point to where they feel there's no way of escape. And so the only possible way of escape is, I've been depending on you as a church and you have not met my needs. And so the next thing you know, their life is falling apart. They end up leaving the church. They end up not connecting with another church. They end up falling out of church and their life just goes downhill rapidly. And it's just simply because of the fact there was the symptoms of depression building in their life that they did not identify what was going on so they could correct the situation so they would not get to the point of despair. And so you need to identify the problem, their symptoms. Well, there's seriousness. There's a serious depression. Not everybody is at a point where they need to go get medication and need to go get counseling and need to all to do all these things. But here's some aspects of serious depression. Number one is acute depression. Acute depression happens suddenly and only for a brief time, usually during a crisis or a loss. Now, every one of us have situations in our life where we are discouraged because something happened. Maybe a loved one died unexpectedly. Maybe all of a sudden you lost your job. Everything's going wonderful, and all of a sudden your job's gone. And the immediate response is you're overwhelmed with emotion to the point that you just feel that, now what am I going to do? Where am I going to turn? How am I going to be? And next thing you know, you're overwhelmed with a sense of despair. However, that quickly fades away. It's acute. It's not something that's long-term and not something that is life-threatening, but rather you've just been hit and you've been knocked down and you just need to kind of focus and get up and get moving again, amen, before it becomes more serious. So the seriousness of the depression. Number two is chronic depression. It takes a longer period of time to occur and have symptoms vary in intensity. And so as an acute depression is something, all of a sudden there's a tragedy in your life, something happens, and you're overrun with emotions, and you feel your emotions are running out of control. Chronic depression is completely different. It is something that has been a series of things going on in your life, things that have not been working out, things that have been building up, relationships maybe that have been failing, family maybe falling apart, whatever it is. Financially, you're getting farther and farther in debt and you haven't made the corrections to turn around your financial situation, and it gets to a point where it just builds and builds and builds, and all these different symptoms that we talked about are flashing and coming up in different places to the point where now you're in serious trouble. Because now you're starting to get to a point of being out of control. Then there's reactive depression, which is a response to an event in a person's life, a loss of a loved one, job, friend, marriage, or a reaction to something positive in one's life. And so you have different types of depression that you have to deal with. And most of us, I think, fall in the category of number three, where we're just reacting to a situation that happened. It's just something that caught us off guard, and now we're discouraged about that, but we have not come to a place of despair. And so notice the sources. What are the sources? In other words, where does this depression come from? Number one, there's the abstract loss of the intangible. Now, what I mean by that is this. You can say, I love you. Love is not tangible. You can't touch it. Love is an emotion. Then all of a sudden, you know, somebody, teenagers, you know, they're madly in love with each other. And then all of a sudden the next day, I don't love you anymore. And now it's all over Facebook and in chat rooms and hashtag, whatever the person's name is, doesn't love me anymore. And they're falling into this depression, this emotional distress because of a intangible event that happened in their life. They can't touch it, they can't smell it, they can't see it. Love that is lost, hope that is lost, ambition that maybe is lost, and maybe with the job change or whatever. And what we do is we become distressed and discouraged about something you can't touch and something you can't see or smell. And it overwhelms us. And why should we allow something that is not tangible enough to touch or see or feel or smell or taste to control or manipulate our very emotional state? So the abstract loss of the intangible. Number two, depression comes through the concrete loss of the tangible. So that literally is something. It may be your home. People lose their homes in storms. And, you know, all of a sudden now everything you work for, everything you've been spending your money for, everything you've been living for, now all of a sudden it's gone. Maybe a car or a pet and a friend or a spouse or whatever. These things are tangible. These are things that are relevant and front and foremost in your life, that all of a sudden they are there in a vital part of your life, and all of a sudden they're just snatched away. And now they're gone. And so people get to a place of depression and discouragement because of concrete loss of the tangible. Number three is imagined losses created by the imagination. We think someone does not like us, so we focus on negative perceptions that are not based on fact. And, I remember when we started the school. The first year we started the school, we had a couple of girls that transferred in here. And they just came to a point. They were just, I can still see them that first year. This has been 13 years ago. I can still see them sitting in my office and crying profusely. And I'm like, what? I finally looked out and said, what is wrong with you? And I just don't want to be here. I was like, but why? Tell me why you don't want to be here. Nobody likes me here. Now, that's an imagined thought process that created an emotion in those two girls that I'm going to tell you, it overwhelmed them to the point, yeah, their parents took them out. And there was no justification for that emotional reaction. It was all imagined. But yet many times we do the same thing. They say most preachers resign from their church with less than 10% of the people in the church upset with them. And they do it because of the fact they think the whole church is upset with them. That's an imagined depression. They get depressed and discouraged about that. I try to be careful about saying, Everybody hates me. Everybody's talking about me. I know there's always somebody that doesn't like me. There's always somebody that's talking about me. But the reality is, not everybody is. So I don't want to, you're all getting nervous. You look like you're getting depressed, amen? I don't want to get to a place where imagine thought process creates an emotional response that brings me to a point of despair. So you have to understand the sources that cause depression in your life. If you don't identify the problem, you're never going to address the issue to correct it. We do not have to be discouraged to the point of falling into despair. All right, so let's recognize an answer here. Recognizing the answer. Letter A, devotion to prayer. I can't stress this enough that your time alone with God in prayer will have a positive effect on keeping you in a position where you're not being overrun with emotional distresses. In Psalm 55 and verse 4, says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Well, he's got some of the symptoms of depression showing forth here. In verse 16 through 18, he says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. See, at the beginning of the psalm, there is a different emotional response than what is going on at the end of the psalm. Looking at the situation and the conditions that are going on around him, he said, my soul is aching inside of me. Death is following me. There's fear and trembling overwhelming me. Oh, I just need to get out of here. I need to escape. Then he comes to verse 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. It is not a platitude, and it is not a cliche to say when you start feeling that you're getting overwhelmed with emotional distress that's going to lead you to a point of despair, you need to get alone with God. Because I'm going to tell you, God's going to do something in your heart that man cannot do. And God will listen to you when man cannot understand what you're going through. God understands everything that you're going through. So we need to be to have a devotion to prayer when we get overrun with emotional distresses. We need to be dedicated, letter B, need to be dedicated to the character of God. Now, if anybody had justification to be depressed, I think Job would qualify. And it's amazing. We won't read all these verses for the sake of time. You can read them later. But Job's condemnation, Job was condemned. And his friends did not understand. Letter A there, his wife cursed him. And I don't think there is anything that is more discouraging and demeaning to a man or a woman than to have their spouse rip them apart. Amen. And I know years ago of a young fellow got married, and all his wife did was constantly cut him down in public, constantly cut him down. And, of course, he would retaliate. And I knew their marriage was not going to last because of that. And it didn't. It lasted less than 5 years, and they were divorced. And why is that? Because there is nothing that was more condemning than for a spouse to curse one another and ridicule and mock one another. And so Job was condemned. His wife cursed him. Letter B, his friends sat silent before him. You know, sometimes you want people to give you an answer. When you're hurting inside, you're wanting somebody to give you an answer. And it may be, you might just want them to say to you, everything's going to be all right. But many times when you need it the most, you feel condemned because they're not saying anything at all. Letter C there, his friend judged him in chapter 4. And oftentimes when you tell someone, I'm really struggling with some emotional distresses right now, I'm really feeling depressed, watch out, one of these seven sayings that you shouldn't say all of a sudden will come up. And so I think we need to be careful that we don't condemn one another by judging one another because someone may be going through a tragedy in their life and they are fighting and battling with depression. Letter D there, his friends accused him of hypocrisy. Oh, you talk about your walk with God, you talk about you love God, why are you so depressed? Oh, don't make a false accusation. Don't accuse somebody of being a hypocrite because they're dealing with something in their life that has thrown them through a loop and has floored them in a way that they're trying to get their reasoning and they're trying to get their emotions under control and they're trying to get refocused. They don't need you to accuse them. Job certainly didn't need somebody to come and call him a hypocrite. Letter E there, his friend called him a liar in chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. And so I just know this, that we need to be dedicated to the character of God and not come to the place of condemning the person who is suffering. So here it is, Job's commendation. This is where I want to deal with the character of God. And you cannot be a help to somebody that is struggling with depression by dealing with the human problems. You need to help them through commending them to the Lord based on the character traits of our God. Letter A is this. His God would not abandon him. Job came to know that. He understood that in Job chapter 19. And when you deal with depression and discouragement, you have to come to a place where you acknowledge the fact that God is still with you. You are not by yourself. Depression is to fall into a dark hole that you think nobody cares and no one is there, but God is there. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so if I'm going to be able to get myself out of this funk of depression, I've got to focus on the character trait of my God that he has promised he will not abandon me. And he is with me at that point in my life. At the very lowest points in your life, God is still there. And I'm going to tell you, my wife and I have been through some times and changes in ministries and this, that, and the other, where I'm going to tell you, we were at the bottom. Emotionally, we were at the bottom. Physically, we were at the bottom. Spiritually, and no one came alongside of us to pick us up. But I'm going to tell you who didn't abandon us, it's our God. And when depression and discouragement overwhelms you, you got to focus on the character of your God. Notice his God purposefully was trying him. So this situation that you just faced that has thrown you into an emotional state of depression, this situation that has overwhelmed you emotionally, let's think about it. Is God purposely using this to show me who he is? So that I can come out on the other side with a deeper understanding of my God. Anything we accomplish in life or experience in life, whether it's good or whether it's bad, if we come out on the other side of it and we do not understand our God in a greater way, the experience was absolutely a failure. The experience was absolutely worthless. Because everything that we are and everything that we experience in our life ought to bring us to a point of a deeper understanding of who our God is. A purposeful use of the trial that Job was going through. Letter C there. His God turns his condition when he acknowledges his God. And it's amazing when you read chapter 42 of Job, that literally when Job is acknowledging his God, that is when God steps in and turns everything around. And when God takes you to a point of helping you to understand, even in the darkest hour in your life, that God is still with you and he is working something in your life to know who he is, and you acknowledge God's working, all of a sudden, God steps in and starts changing everything around. And you can start feeling the joy of the Lord. You can start feeling confidence again. You can start feeling emotional strength and stability again because you understand that, wait a minute, God has not given up on me. So we need to understand the character trait of our God. We need to let her see there, deliberately acknowledge that we are not alone. You know, Elijah fell in a point of depression and discouragement when Jezebel was chasing after him. But God reminded him that he was with him. And we have to deliberately acknowledge that we are not alone. We tell ourselves, I'm all alone. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Everybody's against me. We say all these statements. Well, wait a minute. God loves you. God cares. God's with you. God will strengthen you. We have to deliberately focus on the reality that we are not alone, that God is with us. The devil would have you to think on things that say you are alone. God is not real. God doesn't care. But the Spirit of God can help you to focus on the fact that God is real and he does care and he is with me. So you have to deliberately acknowledge that we're not alone. Whether that be through prayer, certainly through reading the Word of God, will help you to remind yourself who our God is. So deliberate acknowledgement. Letter D there, definitely set a time to meditate on the goodness of God. Now, I gave you a bunch of verses here that you can look through. But when depression and discouragement overwhelm you, it is easy to get to a place where you don't think God is just and good in what he's allowing to take place in your life. It is a place of danger if you get to a place where you start thinking that God is not good. I said it to the men's meeting the other night, on Monday night. It is a dangerous place to get to where we start to think in our minds that God is not good, or he's not just in what he does. And so we need to definitely set a time, whether it be reading through the Word of God or maybe reading a devotional book or reading whatever it is or meditating in your own heart and your own mind on how many things that God has done good in your life. How many things has God worked out in your life? How many times have you seen God come through? Talk about in yourself, reminding yourself of the goodness of God. God is good. He is always good. And the devil, my flesh, and the world would want me to think that he's not. So I have to set definitely a time where I'm going to meditate on the goodness of God. Letter E, determine to express gratitude. And if we do not express thanksgiving and praise to our God, it will be replaced with all kinds of negative thoughts and all expressions of ingratitude. You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. And what was the outcome of that? They changed the incorruptible God into corruptible things of this earth. Four-footed beasts and all these things, and turned her back on the living God. And the judgment and chastisement of God came on them. I'm telling you, you have to determine, when you expressing gratitude is a conscious decision. And I understand when you're hurting, I'm telling you, when I don't feel good, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I don't want to hear anything from anybody. I don't want to hear somebody say God is good. You know why? Because I'm enjoying my pity party. I'm enjoying my depression. But you know what? If I don't stop feeling that way and start deliberately reminding myself that God is good and I am thankful that he has saved me and I am thankful that he is watching out for me and I am thankful for even this trial I'm going through, I'll just get deeper and deeper and darker and darker. And I want to recognize an answer. I need an answer to the problem. I've got to get out of it before it destroys me. So you have to determine to express gratitude. Well, what else do? You move on in victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 57, notice there's a conscious of the person of God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a conscious awareness of God. Thanks be to God. He gives me victory. God does not destroy me through depression. God gives me victory over depression. God does not overwhelm me with emotional stresses. God gives me victory over their emotional stresses in my life. And so I don't have to be beat down, trodden down, and run over by my emotions because of some tragedy or difficulty I went through. Because God is still there, and he still gives me victory through Jesus Christ. So it's a conscious, we need to be conscious of the person of God. Notice in verse 58, there needs to be a commitment in the work of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Paul said he was at the point of despair. But his acknowledgement is this: no matter whether you're at a point of despair or not, you need to keep on in the Lord's work. The most dangerous, I've watched this over the years, the most dangerous thing that a person can do when they're expressing emotional stresses and depression in their life is to back off from God, to stop reading the Word, stop praying, stop acknowledging that God is good and God wants us to experience Him. And matter of fact, because I'm so emotional distressed, I'm just not going to do anything for God. I'm quitting all my ministries. I'm not doing anything anymore. Somebody else can do it because I'm depressed. You know what? You're going to continue to be depressed. Because depression is not defeated by withdrawing and cowering and falling into the corner of despair. Depression is defeated as you acknowledge the power and the work of God through the Lord Jesus Christ to keep you involved and committed to the things he desires you to accomplish. So there's a commitment to the work of God. Well, verse 58 also, there's a need to be confident in the reward of God. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just don't see any rewards right now. What's the sense in living the Christian life? Because there is a reward coming. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to live my life. And I'll tell you, every time I turn around, somebody, some Christian says something very demeaning and cutting to me. So what are you going to do? You going to go hide in a closet? What are you going to do? Carry your emotions on a sleeve? Let people walk all over it? Or are you going to acknowledge, wait a minute, I need to be steadfast and I'm committed to the Lord because of the fact that he has promised he's going to give me a reward for my labors one day. And I'm going to rejoice in that. I might not have it right now, but I can be happy about what I'm going to get. And so be confident in the reward of God. Corrie Ten Boom, if anybody had a reason for being depressed, she certainly would. She said this: if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within, you will be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Amen. And that's the problem. That is a simple solution to overcoming depression. If you look at the world, forget it. You're going to be stressed out. I look at news clips. I look at what's going on. I tell you, I'm stressed. I'm stressed. I get depressed real quick. But wait a minute, if you look at yourself, all you do is start pitying yourself and start being selfish in your thought process, and you're looking to within, and that's it, you're going to be discouraged. You know what? You're going to find there's not a whole lot in you that says, hey, man, I'm glad I am who I am. You become glad on who you are based on who Christ is in you. You look to Christ. And so she went on to say, you will never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. And I'm afraid we look to counselors, we look to finances, we look to entertainment, we look to all kinds of things, we look to people, we look at all kinds of things to be the source and the means of delivering us from our bouts of depression. And listen, those are not the things that we need. It is Christ and Christ alone. And if we'll come to a place of acknowledging that, I believe we can have victory over bouts of depression. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I'm going to tell you, that helps me get up and get going when I'm discouraged and feel defeated. Psalm 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. In times of trouble, I cannot allow my emotions to be my hiding place. In times of emotional distress, the Lord has got to be my refuge. I need to hide myself in him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There is nothing greater than to realize no one ever cared for me like Jesus. He cares for you. Yes, you're going to be discouraged. And yes, you're going to go through disappointments. And yes, you may have bouts of depression, maybe more so than other people do. But it does not have to destroy you. It does not have to ruin you. And it does not have to bring you to a place where your life is a life of despair, because there is no hope in God. God is always there to take your burdens upon himself to be able to get you victory. Victory over depression. Read through some of the verses I gave you there, and Lord, may the Lord help you and help you strengthen you as we overcome these bouts with emotional distresses in our life. I'm praying about doing a message next week on overcoming anxiety. Depression and anxiety are two different things, and we need to have victory over both of those things. Amen. All right, we need to pray.